Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I'm so happy to have you joining us today. We have a great guest, a wonderful lady who has spent her life empowering women to be all that they can be. Her name is Lorraine Simone, also known as Deep Arrow Woman, founder of Moonfire Meeting House and the Women's Way Mystery School in Southampton, New York. She was trained and mentored by Oceanaw Fast Wolf, an Apache Mohawk teacher, who gave her the spirit name of Deep Arrow Woman. And her wisdom is deep, so we do want to welcome you today to Shaman's Keep. Thank you so much, Deep Arrow, for joining us.
Well, thank you for the invitation, and thank you so much for that beautiful opening prayer. It is the way I start my day and the way I have passed on to many, many people, to start the day with a morning prayer of gratitude. So it was so lovely to hear that as we began.
Thank you. Well, like you, that I start my day that way also, giving thanks to what I call my support system, because we would not have life here on Earth without all these supporting elements, the sun and the water and the plants feeding us and the animals. And, you know, our whole lives are dependent on these things. So I think it's really important to give thanks to each one of them individually and remember that we're all one, that we are all related. So thank you.
Now,
tell me a little bit about how you first became interested in following a shamanic path.
Well, that's a very long story, so I'll give you the edited version.
Okay.
I believe every child born is born into the experience and the desire of following a shamanic path. Every child is connected to the animal realms. Every child is connected to the trees. Every child is connected to that natural world that we're brought into. And so some of us are fortunate enough to remember that. And I was one of those children that remember that, although I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York.
Wow.
Yes. And I kept the memory of that connection for a very long time, even living in a very urban environment. And when I was first married, my husband and I moved out of the city and into an area that we called the country, but it wasn't really country at all. It just had a lot of trees. And little by little, we started to explore our memory as children of how connected we were to nature. And that was right around the time of the first Earth Day awareness. And from that moment of connecting to that old memory from childhood, I began exploring. I began finding books and reading poems. And at the time, the only people on the planet who were really green were the people that walked the red road. And so I became very interested in the teachings of indigenous peoples, especially here on what many of my teachers referenced as Turtle Island.
Yes.
And so when it was time for me to work on my graduate degree, I selected specialty in environmental science. And realized that what was missing from that body of work was the spirit of nature. And so that brought me on the quest to find teachers, real life working human beings who lived their lives in an honoring way. And when you're ready and you ask, your teachers appear. And so I've been very fortunate to have a variety of teachers that continue to encourage and instill my personal search and my planetary expression of staying connected and with the earth and all of the beings that are here to support us. And then I learned the ceremonies, and then we created the rituals, and then the community came together, and that's how the search and the shamanism began. And everyday shamanism is how I live my life and how the people, the men and women and children, in the Moonfire community and at the Women's Ways Mystery School, have chosen to live theirs as well.
That's wonderful. And I'm simply amazed that you were born and raised in Brooklyn and had this connection with nature. You know, so many people today seem to have lost their connection with nature completely, especially if they're in the cities. I was fortunate enough to have grown up on a farm miles from town, and it was very lonely, and I thought it was bad when I was a kid because there were no close neighbors, and I was an only child, so all my friends were animals and trees, and, you know, so that was very natural for me, but I can't imagine how you managed to feel that connection growing up in the city. And it's just wonderful that you were able to follow that instinct.
Yes, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that, unlike you, I was not an only child, and I was raised in an extended family. I had lots of cousins and aunts and uncles and great aunts and uncles and aunties and grandparents. And my grandparents were immigrants to this country. And they always kept their earth ways. They themselves were very connected to the trees, to the land, to the food. My grandfather had a fruit and vegetable cart. This is going back almost 100 years. And he was always very reverent of the food. He was always very reverent of the earth in that way. And so that brought me to an understanding later on in my life that this idea of shamanism is worldwide. And maybe my grandparents didn't reference their reverence and their love and their connection to the natural world and the earth in a way that would fit under the definition of everyday shamanism, but that's how they lived their lives. And so they kept that curiosity, they kept that respect, they kept that alive for me while I was growing up in the city, and made it possible for me to explore that even further as an adult.
How wonderful that you had that kind of input. Where did they immigrate from? What country?
From Italy.
Oh.
My mother's family were sheep herders.
Oh.
They were shepherds. And my father's family were farmers.
Uh-huh.
And so they came to America. They came to this amazing land and culture and ideology still instilled with multiple generations of being connected to the land.
Yes, and that's wonderful because it's in your genes. You inherited
yes.
it, and then you had the honor of being able to grow up around that way of thinking and feeling.
Yes,
it all.
Yes, very fortunate, and I believe that it's in all of our genes.
Mm-hmm.
My niece recently, actually 2 months ago, gave birth to two beautiful baby girls.
Oh.
They are fraternal twins, and I see their excitement even at this tender age of just weeks, that they're excited by the trees, that they are enthralled by the sound of the birds. They love the fragrance of the flowers. So to continue to embellish that and to keep that alive in every child on the planet, I think is a way that we honor the future and keep that hope, keep that dream, keep that vision alive for ourselves and all of the other children of the earth.
That is so true. And now we're, you know, part of our job is waking people up again to remember what they mm-hmm. knew as children, that, you know, because they had a deep inner knowing as children, like you said, everyone does. But then
yes.
somehow it got trained out of them, and they were given rules and regulations about how to be successful in life that did not maybe honor nature or even consider nature as being important with that future success. And so, you know, I'm finding so many people that I work with that I'm having to bring them back to remember how they felt as children and how excited they were to run outside and play and to climb a tree or to, you know, to be out in nature. And
yes.
this, you know, we're waking them up again.
I agree. It is a time of great reawakening and a time of great need to reawaken as well. Now, you, in the introduction, you mentioned the Women's Ways Mystery School. When
mm-hmm.
the women come to the introductory program of the Mystery School, they enter as maidens. They enter as beginners in their
mm-hmm.
walk of life. And I find that is so helpful to return to that mindset, that beginner's mind, as the Buddhists say, because it does help us remember things that we have forgotten simply because we've been living life and we have so many additional experiences. And to go back, to actually make that conscious choice, to go back to childhood and remember who we truly are, gives us then an opportunity to go back even further in our being and remember that we are also infinite nature, as well as mind, body, soul. We are that spirit that connects everything that Creator breathed into. So the work of the reawakening is what I love about your show, because you bring that opportunity to people, and there's no shame or guilt around having forgotten. It's an understanding that this is part of the process that we've been raised in Western culture, that forgetting, because Western culture has not, until very recently, has not really made the connection or reconnected to the natural world in a way that has been honoring of the sacred. You know, Western culture has more or less embraced the natural world as a resource instead of
something to be used.
Being that it really is. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yes, when we started regarding trees as inanimate objects that we could just use however we wanted to, and animals as inanimate objects, soulless things that we could just use. You know, we've done a lot of damage to the earth by losing our awareness that everything is alive and everything has spirit, and all life is sacred. You know, so tell me a little bit about how you first met Oceanaw Fast Wolf and what you learned from her.
Well, I would love to do that. I put out a call in my consciousness that I was looking for someone to answer this question of mine. And the question was, how did we get so far away from walking in beauty on the earth? How did we get so far away from remembering who we truly are as human beings? And I asked that question of priests and rabbis and professors and healers, and all the answers they gave me just didn't really satisfy me at all. And then I met Oceana in a very social way. She was a guest speaker along with her adopted sister, Dr. Dolores Krieger of Therapeutic Touch. They were both guests on my friend's radio show in New York. It was a late night talk show. And I happened to meet Oceana that night at dinner. And as we were talking, I asked her that question. And she said, we've lost the memory. We've lost the respect of the earth, and that we're all children of Mother Earth. And when she said that to me, it touched me in a very deep way. Now, this is almost 30 years ago. And at the time I was in the process of organizing a retail store in Manhattan that I called Planet Earth, that was based on a lot of the work that I had done in the New York City Board of Education in my environmental education classes. So I had lots of books about the earth and climate and animals and solar-powered toys and a variety of wonderful earth-related products, fossils and telescopes that I sold in the store. But one of the things that really called to me were, as with most children, rocks and stones and pebbles and crystals. And to my surprise, Oceana is a fourth generation crystal healer. So she and I had this lovely conversation over dinner about the possibility of her being the crystal consultant of my store. And I thought, oh my, I can't afford a crystal consultant to my store. I'm just putting this together now, you know? And she said, I'll charge you $1 a year.
Aww.
And I'll be the crystal consultant of your store. And I said, what's the catch? And she said, well, you need to promise me that you'll come and sit with me and learn about these special beings, and that you will clean and cleanse them before you sell them. And I thought, well, sure, I could do that. Mm-hmm. And so that's how she coyoted me into the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
and really, truly began to set me on a path of unfolding that continues to this day. And so she helped me when I was organizing my store in Manhattan. And after 5 years of doing that work, I was called to move out to Eastern Long Island to be closer to the water spirits. And that's where I've been since 1990. So Oshana, really, that's how she and I became acquainted. And through that connection, had an opportunity to meet many other wonderful people. I trained in ceremonies. I made myself available to a variety of initiations and other teachers, and she's always been close and near and dear to my heart. And at the time, she was one of the few people out there who made me feel welcomed into this world of medicine, into this magical world of shamanism, even though I was not an indigenous person. I was not mm-hmm. Native American. Mm-hmm. And she often said that I was part of this generation that had been prophesized, that there would be a generation of the children of the invaders who would come and dance with feathers in their hair and be open to remember these old ways to bring into a new world. Mm-hmm. And that really sang to me.
Yes. You know, I spoke with a Lakota woman recently who told me that that the Native Americans are aware that some of their teachers are being reincarnated now into white bodies or, you know, different nationality bodies.
Yes.
But
yes.
They're bringing mm-hmm. forward the truths and the wisdom
yes.
that was part of the Native Americans' way of life. And so uh-huh. I believe that's true.
Yes, and it was something that I always felt, even as a young person. You know, I just mentioned my reference to my European background, but even as a young person, I felt an affinity to this land, to mm-hmm. these types of teachings and sensibilities. And there have been so many medicine ways and ceremonies that I've been brought into that I already knew what was happening. I already mm-hmm. knew how to be in that sacred way. And mm-hmm. so that idea of coming back has always been a delight for me to hold on to.
Yes, well, it's wonderful when you realize it, because I kind of similar to you. When I was a child, I was convinced that I was Native American. I didn't know how I ended up in this Deep South family. and I even asked my mother if I was adopted, which hurt her feelings.
Sure.
But I was convinced, you know, and I taught myself how to track and how to, you know, and I spent all my time out in nature, up in trees and in the fields with the cows and the different animals. And I felt very comfortable out there doing, you know, being with those kind of entities. And well, like I said, they were my friends, and they still are.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how you and I had such different experiences in our youth and wound up on the same road?
Yes, we're all walking the same path.
In a beautiful way.
Yes,
exactly.
Obviously,
yes.
We both came in to help teach again on a much broader scale to reach people of all races. What Sun Bear said, the Rainbow Tribe. That will will save the world or save the earth. We're part of that rainbow tribe, I believe.
Yes, and Oceana considered the Sun Bear a deep brother of hers, and in the early days, the two of them went out teaching together.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I only met him in his last few years, and so I didn't, you know that much about his earlier teaching. But he did break the ice. He was the first of the, I think, of the Native Americans to come forward and actually share some of their teachings with the white people. And of course, a lot of Native Americans were angry with him for that. But thank heaven he had the courage to do it, because it it opened the door for many of us.
Yes,
to be able
and
to that red.
Yeah, and he and Oceana had that same message that they were sharing with the world, that it was a time that everyone's medicine, all of the mysteries, needed to come together and be shared in a respectful way, in a loving way, in an honoring way. And I think that that's very important, but that we needed to pool all of our resources to get through this time. And I believe that that's true. And I'm very grateful to them and for all of the teachers that I've sat with, where I'm visiting friends right now in the Berkshires, and we're right across the lake from Kripalu, which is a beautiful center, one of the first places that many people here in the Northeast came to learn the yogic way of life. So for all of those teachers who have gone before us, who had the foresight and the calling to bring us all together, to share the wisdom of their perspective, of their land, of their spirits. I'm grateful. I am grateful, and include them in my morning prayers every day.
That's wonderful. Well, tell me a little bit more about the Moonfire Meeting House. What is it all about?
Well, when I closed my store in Manhattan, the one that Oceana and I initially talked about, I found myself doing a lot of the practices, a lot of the shamanic practices alone and by myself. I moved into a community simply because of my close proximity to the water and the energy that drew me there, but didn't know a lot of people. And I continued my ceremonies and the rituals and the prayers and the way of life, and created the intention to find other like-minded, like-hearted people. And so in 1990, I began the process of attracting, magnetizing, connecting to people who were interested in these earth ways, people who were open to using ceremony and ritual as a way of bringing that inner landscape into an outer expression. Mm-hmm. And so Moonfire Meeting House, Moonfire for me was the bringing together of the masculine and the feminine, the yin mm-hmm. and the yang, the old and the new, all of those seeming dichotomies into union. And a meeting house was because initially this work was all done in my house where we would meet. and it had a nice ring to it of
yes.
The friends schools and the meeting house. And so from that umbrella over the past 23 years, we gather on the solstices and equinoxes, and we have circles. We have circle facilitators all over the country. We even have a few sisters in Europe and up in Canada and South America. So, although we're a physical hugging community, we're also very global, and now with the internet and the connections that we can make through Skype, we continue to hold that vision of being experiential, to have the experience of community, not just use it as a catchphrase, and to experience our desire and our remembering together. And from Moonfire, a circle of women was developed, and there are circles of women circles. Mm-hmm. With facilitators that I personally trained around the country. And then a few years after that, the idea of the women wanting to know more. We want to know more. We want to be able to feel more. We want to feel safe and connected, because there are women's mysteries that need to be shared and remembered. And so the Women's Ways Mystery School was started in mm-hmm. 1995. And Moonfire continues to grow and expand. Next week, we have our annual summer solstice encampment, where people from all over, different persuasions, spiritual connections and experiences can come and spend a weekend exploring shamanism, everyday shamanism, in a way that simply reminds us that we all have the shaman within us. We all have the teacher within us. We all have the student within us. We all have spirit within us. And so we come together to remember who we are and to act as mirrors for each other in a communal way that's loving and responsible. And so that's been life's work, and it's beautiful to now, after all these years, to be able to see the children who first came to the drum circles, or who first came to the encampments, now have children of their own, and mm-hmm. I watch them remember to make offerings when they take stone from the earth. I watch them do their food blessings when they sit down to harmonize the energy of what they're ingesting. You know, I hear them offer their morning prayers, and it's just a delight. And I pass that delight on to those who taught me, because I know it delights them to know that their work continues to reverberate through the generations as it should, as it always has, and as it will.
Oh, that's so wonderful to be able to see it coming down through new generations and everything, to feel that reverence for the earth and reverence for life. That's wonderful.
Yes, and I always said I didn't just want to be the change in the world. I wanted to live in a world where the change was a way of life. Mm-hmm. And so I feel very fortunate to have a community where I can have that experience of living in that change and continue to foster and vision that change being part of many people's lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's wonderful work that you're doing, and especially today, I think women need to be empowered again to be, you know, all that they can be. We have thousands of years of women being pushed down and treated with less than respect by a lot of cultures, and still are being treated that way in many places in the world.
And we completely forgot who we are. Mm-hmm. What it means to be a woman, and to empower that memory, empowers our children, empowers our brothers as well. And in the Mystery School, you know, we've seen amazing, amazing shifts that take place in individual women's lives. They go home, and the family begins to shift and heal. And then the family goes to school, goes to work, has other relationships, and those relationships begin to blossom, all because one woman remembered who she was, mm-hmm. and took on that mantle of empowerment in a beauty way. And the rest is all organic. So when a woman comes to the Mystery School for the first year as a maiden, we take her through a process of remembering and releasing her old story, and assisting her in creating a new story, an empowered story. And we take her through a rites of passage that's based on the Apache puberty rites for girls.
Ah,
very
yes.
Unique. It's not really based, it's inspired by that.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. We gather for days, and the community comes to support the women. The community comes to witness what it is that they have committed their lives to walk an empowered path of the sacred feminine. And then if they wish to continue that training, they're invited to come back for a second year. And that year is about living the mysteries. What are the mysteries of the feminine beyond menses and monarch? What is that? And those women are trained to entrain that goddess energy, that sacred feminine energy within them, to really connect to that indwelling and to express it in the world, in all of their choices. If they come back for the following year, that's the year of the sacred marriage, the union of all of those seemingly fragmented parts, all of that diversity brought into a wholeness, so that the initiation at the end of that year's study is a sacred marriage, and that union of our human to the divine, the ultimate wedding. And the last year of the Mystery School is bringing women to the responsibilities and the deeper mysteries of the adepts and they'll learn ceremony work. They'll learn deeper levels of working with energy and how to be the voice of the sacred feminine in the world to create more safety for the women and the children, and thereby more safety for the men and all of the children of the earth. So it's been a beautiful journey in that way. And this fall, I'll be taking a group of women to restore Gaia. We're going to Greece to connect with the shamans in Greece and reconnect with the goddesses that that came to us from that culture, that understanding of Mother Earth and the sacred feminine. So I'm very grateful for the rich life and the fabric of life that shamanism continues to weave for me and the people whose lives I touch and the people whose lives touch mine.
Yes, it's definitely a way of life. I know when I first set foot on the shamanic paths, it just reawakened everything that I had known in my inner knowing as a child. And it does become a way of life when you're so aware of how precious life is and how sacred all life is and how each of us plays a part in each other's lives, whether we're a human or an animal or a tree or whatever form of life we're in. We're all interacting constantly to create this beautiful earth garden that we live in. And so, yes, it's a wonderful way to live when you're so aware of all the life around you and everything and how it's all interwoven to create this world. So I'm very happy of the things that you're telling me that you teach, and that's wonderful. How does your teaching of everyday shamanism compare to, for instance, the core shamanism that's taught by the Foundation for Shamanic Studies?
I don't really know because although Oshana and Michael Harner were and have been friends for years, I don't have any experience with that.
Oh, okay.
Everyday shamanism is something that through the past almost 30 years of living a shamanic life has come together for me in a very unique way. So I think it was a few years ago, there were a number of requests about this idea of everyday shamanism to make it more of a experience that others who were not located in the Northeast area could partake in. Mm-hmm. And although it's primarily an oral tradition, I created an online course. It was a 7-week telecourse in everyday shamanism that really does address our all the things that you and I have been talking about, and, you know, how to walk in the world in beauty with a capital B. So we do in everyday shamanism, we do connect to the elements and we find our direction, and there are prayers and rituals around every aspect of the arc of a human life for men and women to participate in the chants the songs, the everyday awarenesses and observances that make each of us, I believe, everyday shamans. Mm-hmm. And when we open to that mindset, that the trainings and the teachings enhance the indwelling of spirit and reawaken that everyday shaman within us, that it gives us permission to walk in a way that truly sings to our souls. We've had many people today who want to live a life in service to humanity, to the generations yet unborn, and
yes,
want to live a life of service to spirit, and may not find a place in their more familiar settings to be able to do that. And shamanism, everyday shamanism, encourages us to be in service to everyone and everything. And so it was very appealing to many people to open to the idea of everyday shamanism. In addition to those amazing people that dedicate their lives as shamans to communities where they offer themselves every day in a medicine way. Mm-hmm. Everyday shamanism really connects to that little child within us that understood from the very first breath that everything was connected.
Yes. And it's so, not about money. That's the main thing, you know, because we're all connected in spirit and we all are brothers and sisters and we can all help each other. And that's what living a life of service is all about. It's not about making money out of it or, you know, turning it, monetizing our service somehow. Although we do have to make a living and we can do, you know, charge for our teaching and things like that. But much of what we do is done from the heart, and the heart first before anything else is thought about.
Yes, and when you live your life that way, from the heart, then you can do, then everything that you do is of service, whether you charge money for it or not, whether mm-hmm. you bake it or not, whether you...
Yes.
It's how you hold yourself so that everything you do, every choice, every thought, every action is connected to service to life.
Yes. To make this a better world and to bring more love and joy and light to the world and to
mm-hmm.
help other people to feel this. Yes, I agree. Well,
yeah.
Tell
us,
we're
for
almost...
me, that's everyday shamanism.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's more of an American version of shamanism. You don't do the actual journey like into the other worlds and all that the foundation teaches. But it all works, and I'm very pleased with what you're teaching. We're out of time, so tell people how they can reach you, your website, and a little about your trip very quickly. And then we have to say goodbye.
Well, actually, the trip to Greece is filled.
Oh, okay.
So keep us in prayers. September 28th to October 12th. Thank you. You can email me. I like to keep it personal. At moonfire, one word, at optonline.net. That's MOONFIRE. At optonline.net. And one of the things we do, and we do journey, I just want to clarify that.
Oh,
we do
okay.
journey, we do work with animal allies, we do work with plant allies, we definitely connect in that way
okay,
as well.
Great.
So
right.
I want to thank you so much for inviting me and having me here today. It was lovely. You helped me remember so many things that I had forgotten, like my grandfather and his planting his fig tree and how he loved it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for joining us today, because you shared so many wonderful things, and I know the listeners have loved it. So thank you very much, Deep Hour.
Okay, stay in touch, everybody. Kadish Day, walk in beauty.
Okay, thank you. And for my listeners, next week we have Louisa Kolker in Santa Fe, New Mexico, joining us again to tell a little bit more about how she developed her teaching. And so join us next week, same time, same place. Until then, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.